This morning, Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And you can find the scripture in your pew Bible, page 2 of the New Testament. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they heard that they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and more. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." You'll end the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. A family was driving into Fredericksburg, Virginia, for a Christmas season get-together. As they passed by a Methodist church, there was a manger scene in the yard. The youngest boy asked his mother, "What is that?" "Honey, that is Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus lying in the manger." A few blocks further on, they passed an Episcopal church where a scene was depicting the journey of the wise men. "Who are they?" the young boy asked. "Those are the wise men. They are looking for the baby Jesus." "Well, they're not all that wise," the young boy replied. "They won't find him there. He's down the street at that Methodist church." What would have happened if it had been three wise women instead of three wise men? They would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts. You know, wise men usually are depicted as not so wise. So this morning, let us debunk the truth about these wise men, whether they were really wise or not. And I will base that on the last story about the wise woman instead of three wise men. Although we are familiar with the wise men there, usually standing near the manger, along with the shepherds and animals and all, chances are they must have arrived later, much later than we think. When the wise men arrive, where do the scripture says that Mary and Joseph are living? In a house. And Jesus is called a child instead of a baby. This is what the scripture said. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. So here enters the wise men. They were probably from Babylon, and it was going to be a very long journey to the town of Bethlehem. Some scholars speculate that it might have taken this wise man up to 4 months to make the journey to Jerusalem. That doesn't include their time of preparation. And their journey was not a safe journey. Much of the way would have been unprotected. Thieves and robbers plagued many of the road and forced merchants and commoners to travel in a large caravan for safety. But these were neither commoners nor merchants. They were prominent men. It had been speculated that at a minimum, they would have brought with them a full military escort along with their servants. The total party could have amounted to more than 300 people. So it's not three, but much greater numbers that they traveled. That would have explained the stir they caused when they rode into Jerusalem. And the fact that this wise man had no trouble gaining an audience with King Herod gives us the insight about their status and the numbers that they traveled together. So we are clearly looking at more than three guys out of for ride on their camel. This was a large band of men who had traveled a great distance over dangerous roads. Just to prepare for their journey would have taken months. So, the question once again, were they wise spending this much time, resources, and effort to see a newborn baby? For this wise man, this was the most important journey they would ever take. Nobody, no one, nothing was going to stand between them and following the star. These magi made a dramatic commitment of time, resource, and effort to search for this newborn king. Dearly beloved, the gift of time, resources, and efforts is one of the most precious gifts that we can offer and we can give to our Lord. I know in this world that promotes the self and spending lavishly on self instead of why you spend so much time and effort and resource for something or someone other than you. This wise man knew that this was a precious moment, the most wonderful gift that they could ever face. So they did. They recognize something big, someone big, greater than anything and anyone in the history of humankind was born and came. How could they not find the time and resource and efforts for the one they call their King, their Lord and Savior? And beloved, wise men sought after him, the newborn king. One of the things that has intrigued me about this account is the incredible wrong turn, indeed, these wise men took as they neared the end of their journey. Instead of following the star to Bethlehem, they stop in Jerusalem to ask direction. So they ask the directions, which has caused some to suggest that this is why these magi are so famous. They are the only men in history known to stop to ask for directions. To make a long story short, when they found out that it is in Bethlehem of Judea that the Messiah was to be born, for so it has been written by the prophet, they found their way back to Bethlehem. There, they were one overwhelmed with joy. This is overwhelmed, overflowing with joy. And two, they knelt down and paid him homage. And three, then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and more. What an obsolete gift, as the joke says. This is what it signifies. The gold presented to the infant king represents his royalty. Frankincense, an expensive resin that was burned in the temple as the symbol of prayer, spoke of his divinity. And more, another expensive resin that was used to embalm, representing his death for us. These were gifts given with care and in adoration of this newborn king. And beside all this, that these were the valuable resources that they gave to Jesus, that his parents were able to escape into Egypt, where they didn't know anybody, they had no resource, but chances are they use this gift and sell them to provide what they need. So it was a practical gift after all. I will conclude this sermon with this story once again. I know some of you who follow college football, tomorrow is the national championship game. I don't know who you're rooting for, but back in the days, it was not with the playoff, but it was by the balls. And in 1996, Oklahoma State University's quarterback, whose name was Randy Johnson, and he was the president Lyndon Johnson's nephew. And he was a mediocrity quarterback, and it was not a good team. And the team has a legendary stories, so that's what I'm sharing. And they played against the rival, the University of Oklahoma. And the final game of 1996, Oklahoma State was trailing by 6 points. Little hope remained as the time was passing, and they had almost 80 more yards to go to make the touchdown. And interestingly, the coach asked Randy to call the play. And by then, as a good gesture, the Oklahoma State coach put all the seniors for the last play of the game. And so Tim Huddle, and he made a call, and it was a surprising call. Randy called play 13, a trick play they've never used, and for good reason that it had never worked in practice. Well, then the impossible happened. Play 13 worked. Oklahoma State scored. Randy Johnson's team won the game by 1 point, and the fans went wild. And they carry Randy as a hero of the game off the field. And then the coach called him and asked, "Why in the world did you ever call play 13? And this is what Randy says, "Well, when we huddled there, and I looked at over and saw old Harry with tears running down his cheeks. And it was his last college football game, and we were losing. And I saw the big 8 on his chest. Then I looked over and saw Ralph, and the tears were running down in his cheek, for it was his last game too. And he was wearing big 7 on his jersey. So in honor of these two broken-hearted seniors, I added 8 and 7 together and called play 13. But Randy, the coach, shouted back, 8 and 7 don't add up to 13. Randy reflected for a moment and answered back, "You are right, coach. And if I had been as smart as you are, we would have lost the game." Unfortunately, there are a lot of people today who are too smart for their own good. They simply can't grasp that the simple truth that God has provided salvation for us in Christ Jesus. The worst part is that they are in danger of losing more than that, more than game, more than their life, in their life. The scripture says that the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. This wise man knew that following and being obedient to the will of God was more important than any of the human knowledge that they could offer, or any resource and time and effort that they could give, so that they followed the way of the star. Brothers and sisters in Christ, wise men of today and wise women of today still seek after Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, many people think that spending so much time with you, and Lord, it takes effort indeed, and resource. And Lord, sometimes the church is not a perfect place. So there is grumblings, and there is politics. And sometimes we wonder, why all this? Why, when we could spend all this time and resource and efforts on ourselves and be lavished on ourselves instead of spending? what is so valuable to us, to you and your holy church. The Lord, we get a glimpse of what is wise from the wise men. When this world is asking us to be wise guys, Lord, you are seeking wise men and women. Lord, let us seek you, still seek you. In the midst of all the danger of traveling, and all the time that we need to spend, and all the packing that we have to do, and all the travels and arrangements that we need to make, Lord God, let us seek you. For Lord, there is no one, nothing in this world valuable than you are. There is nothing and no one as precious as you are. And there is nothing and no one as so wonderful as you are. So Lord God, be unto us, and Lord, let us make the trip following the bright star, the star of our life, Lord Jesus Christ, be unto us. Let us not think that we are so wise to fall into the trap of being wise guys. Lord, use us as your wise man and woman, seeking you, seeking after Jesus all the days of our lives. Help us, O God. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.